Three Counties Radio and BBC Radio Northampton. Now, you may have seen or read this next story. A woman was unaware that she was divorced for 12 years after her signature was forged on official documents. Rajpal and Kuwal Randhawa were married at Slough Registry Office in 1978, but they separated in 2009. Now, Mrs. Randhawa believed that she and her husband were just separated and that they were still married. A family court has now declared that this divorce is invalid, but the ruling comes as family lawyers warn that fraudulent divorces could increase once the law is changed in April. Now, Joanna Abrahams is a family and children partner at Valamus Law, and she joins us live on the line now. Good evening, Joanna. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Now, were you surprised when you first read this story?
I wasn't surprised because it's not beyond the realms of possibility that it could have happened. With the traditional paper divorces, The petition sent to the person on the other side, the respondent. So the person asking for the divorce is the petitioner, And the person who's receiving the papers is the respondent. And the respondent has to return a piece of paper saying, yes, I acknowledge that I've been served with the papers. It's what it says on the TIM, the acknowledgement of service. And that has that person's signature on it saying, yeah, I agree, England is jurisdiction, and I'm the respondent. Now, that's a piece of paper, And it's issued by the court. And we haven't been told what did happen, but apart from the fact that we're told it's a fraudulent document, so what might have happened, And I can only speculate, is that the signature was forged on that acknowledgement of service. Mm-hmm. Now, once that's returned, the petitioner can carry on without any further input from the respondent. So in this case, had that been the case, and again, I must emphasize in speculating, then once her husband had signed the paper, sent it back, he needed nothing more from the wife. He can carry on, get his decree nullified, get his decree absolute, albeit it's now been set aside. So that is what may have happened.
Right.
It seems the most likely thing to have happened, because then, of course, we only had paper divorces. We're now moving on to digital online divorces, And these are not new. We've had those for the last few years, and we've got portals where we sign in and we sign out.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's room for error and fraud when documents are sent via email, although we still do have to send hard copies. Uh-huh. And still, the respondent still has to return the acknowledgement of service. And with the new no fault divorce coming in online, again, the respondent will need to complete an acknowledgement of service. So it's going to be a case as it was before, where it should be very difficult for you to be divorced without your knowledge.
Right.
That's really where we are at the moment. So the new online divorce, we'll have new names. They won't be called petitions anymore. There'll be applications. We can have both parties applying. We can have no fault. So there are all these great reforms. But as to the actual mechanics of it, it is something that might happen. I think in all areas, it's very difficult to avoid fraud. Uh-huh. And we can't say it's going to be bomb-proof. But as to whether it's more likely to happen or not, I think that's speculation.
Yeah. I mean, certainly having the digital signatures, you know, that's a vast improvement, isn't it? Fingers crossed, hopefully. So, I mean, their marriage was declared the divorce was declared void. So does that technically make him a bigamist then? Because he's then subsequently got remarried.
Well, he's not a bigamist, is he? Because if the first marriage was never... Oh, yes, if he were... Sorry, yes, he is a bigamist. I apologise. So the first marriage was still alive and well. So in which case, yes, and it's a criminal offence. Yes, I apologise. Absolutely, for sure. And then the court will take whatever action it wishes. That's over into the criminal realm. But one of the key issues, of course, is finances and whether the wife could have applied for any sorts of financial relief while she still thought she was married. Then, of course, that's not going to happen. And so she may have been struggling for years, not realising that she could have brought claims against her husband. And so that again, is a very large problem. But also, from a very personal point of view, This poor lady was in limbo. not knowing that she could have moved on with her life had this been done properly.
Exactly, exactly. Now, you've alluded to some changes in the law. What are some of those changes?
So the major ones are the ones that we've been petitioning for, which is the no-fault divorce. So before, up until April, really, and it's still the case now with my petitions that are going forward, you if you wanted a divorce without waiting for a period of separation, uh-huh. then the only facts upon which you could petition would be adultery. And also it had to be with the opposite sex, so a man with another woman uh-huh. or a woman with another man, not same sex, uh-huh. or unreasonable behaviour, which is behaviour which you would find unreasonable, and the judge could see that. The ones without fault did exist, and it's very important to reiterate that we still have that. But you needed consent for one of them, which is 2 years separation. Uh-huh. And the other two, where you've been separated for 5 years, you don't need consent, but still the respondent needs to know. Now, the only time in these cases where it is possible a respondent might not know is if, for example, you're petitioning on desertion, where you say, fallen off the face of the earth. But even then, the judge wants to see every single attempt you've made to try and find that person. What was his last place of work? Yeah. Where did they last live? It's very, very difficult to say, I don't know where they are. Can I have my divorce, please? It's not that straightforward. So with our new petitions going forward, there'll be applications. You can both do it together, but uh-huh. then you both need to sign the acknowledgement, as it were. We should be getting it done in 26 weeks. So 20 weeks will take us to what we used to call the decree nisi, uh-huh. but that first stage is now called a conditional order. And then you've still got that 6 weeks at the end to apply for what we did call decree absolute and will now be called a final order. So we've got a bit of change of terminology. The petition is called an application, I suppose, because again, it's out of date. Uh-huh. But the key factor is going to be that both parties can send the same thing. And let's say both of you file an application. Either of you can apply for the decree, the conditional order. And likewise, if your husband, let's say you're the wife, files, you can apply for the next stage. There's a lot more fluidity. You're not reliant on one person to push it through.
Right.
So it's
right.
much more equal in that. And so I think traditionally, it was the respondent would turn the acknowledgement of service and then wait for the petitioner just to carry on and carry on.
Yeah.
Power games. I'm not going to. Yes, I'll do it when it suits me. With that element is removed. So it's probably a lot fairer. But we're yet to see. There's still a lot we don't know about it. For example, that you should be filing your, you should be serving the petition or rather the application
yeah.
with 28 days. Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't, you can apply for an extension. But what happens if you don't apply? Or what happens if you apply and the judge says you haven't done it properly? Do you start again? We
yeah.
don't know. Still so much we don't know about.
Yeah, there's a lot of granularity there, isn't there? Absolutely. Yeah. So, will that be figured out? You're explaining from your professional viewpoint, you know, that there are still a couple of holes that need clarification. Mm-hmm. Will they be clarified, you know, once the rule goes through?
Well, we're hoping so. So there's lots of different rules regulating the different parts of the process, but some of them we just don't know the answer to. We've got some sort of equivalent in civil procedurals that we can have a look at. But a lot of us are still very much in the dark. Obviously, we haven't done it yet. And it's like with anything, once you've gone through it a few times, especially as professionals, we should be able to do it without any issues. But none of us have had a dry run. It's
yeah.
not like they said, here you go, have a go at doing one before you get out there for real. So we are in the same position as the rest of the public. We haven't had any specific training on anything at the
yeah.
moment. All given are the rules to digest and get on with. But I think it's going to be a change for the better because
okay.
there will be a lot more equality.
Uh-huh.
One doesn't have to worry if, for example, somebody's petitioning on your unreasonable behaviour. It's hurtful.
Mm.
And you know, and then you get to the stage where somebody may want to defend the divorce.
Of course.
And it costs time and money and emotion. And
yeah,
really,
yeah.
the more amicable one can be, the better.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, look, Joanna, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for explaining that. And yeah, fingers crossed we get some clarification. And yeah, just so everyone knows exactly how to proceed.
Let's hope. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Take care.
The